the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. I'm Eric Larson, and I'm here once again today with my corn verification research assistant, Mr. Nolan Stapleton.
I'm glad to be here. And today we're going to talk a lot about management decisions with the crop at this point. A lot of the crop is now between dent stage and physiological maturity. What effect does the environment and management have on the corn at this stage?
Well, things are beginning to slow up. I think everybody recognizes that in general, particularly the consultants and the farm managers. But I would still classify the time period from late doe on through physiological maturity as a relatively moderate level in terms of overall sensitivity to the environment and to management during this time period. It's certainly declining, though, and we need to keep that in mind. We'll talk more about that later in specific things like irrigation timing. The important thing to remember is that 50% of the kernel seed weight is being determined during this time period from dent stage on. So we've got a lot of yield still in play in terms of that plant and what it's doing right now. To characterize that, we've all pulled corn ears at this time of the year, and oftentimes we'll leave those in the truck some point. And when you go back and go to throw that ear out of the truck, you'll quickly notice that the kernels after 24 hours or 12 hours or however long it's been after you initially picked that ear are going to feel considerably different than when you were sampling them directly out of the field. They're going to shrink up, they're going to wiggle around, and that's a very clear indicator that there's a lot of kernel weight accumulation and size determination still in play at that time period. So the crop is still very much doing its physiological thing and filling seed weight and determining a lot of its yield potential at this time period. So we can't just completely ignore the crop after the dent stage. And also keep in mind that this stage, in terms of all the reproductive development stages, is by far the longest one. If we look at the stages from R1 through R5, the length of this time period is about 25 days, and a lot can either go well or go south quickly, I guess, during this time period. So it's important that we continue looking at the crop and making good management decisions during this time period.
Like you said, we are in the longest reproductive growth stage right now. What would be our management concerns for this 3.5 week period?
The primary one for those of you that have irrigation potential is certainly doing an appropriate job of terminating irrigation at the correct time. That timing is based upon a couple things. You know, grower tendencies can sway either way. Oftentimes we have folks that terminate too early and lose some yield. A lot of growers will irrigate too late and really put out water that's unnecessary and is not helping their yield potential and may complicate harvest later on as well, or certainly reduce your profitability associated with irrigation expenses that are not necessary. That's certainly a very important decision. And the way that you do that is assess two things. You need to assess the soil moisture level throughout the profile. In corn roots, this time of year can pull moisture from very deep. So we've got to actually use deep probing through the soil profile to estimate that using hand tools. And that can be a sharpshooter or a spade type shovel. We often use that in combination with a soil auger or a probe after we dig a hole that's 12 or 14 or 15 inches deep. But we need to assess that soil moisture. And obviously, we've got new technology in the form of soil moisture sensors that do an extremely good job of quantifying that, much better than what we can do using the hand methods as well. So both of those tools help us do a lot better job of assessing what soil moisture we have. Particularly the soil moisture sensors help us a lot compared to, you know, using the more rudimentary methods. The other thing that we need to do is accurately estimate when that crop is reaching maturity. And thankfully, we can do that by monitoring the progression of the milk line through the kernels from the dent stage to physiological maturity. It takes about 24 to 25 days for that milk line to progress from the top of the kernels to the base. So we can break an ear in half, look at the cross section from the top half of the ear, and estimate how far through the kernels that milk line is. And that will accurately give us an estimate of how far out the crop is from reaching that that magical black layer when it's going to be physiologically mature and no longer needs moisture after that point. One of the other things, I guess, to continue looking for that certainly we've seen a lot more of in the last particularly week or two is diseases or other pests that may be in the field. Southern rust is the one in particular that is a hot weather loving disease that typically we see this time of the year in Mississippi. Like I said, it's been perking up and is apparent in most of the fields across the state over the last couple of weeks. We need to keep in mind, I guess, that in order for a disease problem like this to become an issue, we've got to have the pathogen present. You know, looking at the disease triangle, we got to have the presence of the disease. We got to have a favorable environment and a susceptible host. And one of the things that we notice in looking at fields is that there's often a considerable difference in corn hybrids and their susceptibility to southern rust. Obviously, we don't get an opportunity to rate those every year. Hopefully, we'll get some good ratings to use in the future going forward this year. But most fields that we've seen in the state just have a little bit of rust that we find periodically as we go through the field, where just a few leaves on individual plants have a partial infection that's causing, you know, a problem on less than 10% of the leaf area on just a leaf or two on a plant that has 18 leaves that it produces during the course of the season. So in terms of limiting the photosynthetic capacity of the plant, actually causing defoliation that would limit the ability of those plants to fill grain, that amount of disease is no threat to the plant at these later growth stages. And the other thing that comes into play, obviously, is the age of the plants. Like we mentioned earlier, the corn is filling a considerable amount of grain weight after dent stage, but the closer it gets to physiological maturity, the more defoliation and the more presence of any pest it could tolerate without having a considerable yield reduction. So a couple different things there to keep in mind.
Switch gears a little bit. We've been receiving a few questions this week, and one we'll start with is, can management influence maturity or grain moisture?
That question, I guess the quick answer to that is generally no. Corn maturity is dictated by heat unit accumulation during the course of the season. So management influences, whether that be nitrogen fertility program, presence of a fungicide application, plant health in general, is not going to affect the maturity. The only reason why plant, or the only instance where plant health does affect the maturity is if the plants die prematurely from severe stress, particularly drought stress, or heaven forbid, you know, a herbicide that goes across the field and kills a plant prematurely. Obviously, that's going to hasten the maturity and cause that plant to mature earlier than what it would have if it was still alive. But in most cases, plant health has no effect whatsoever on the maturity or the progress of the crop during the time periods when it's actively alive. And the other thing that comes into play or we get questions about is, does the plant health affect maturity of the grain or the dry down rate after it reaches physiological maturity? And the key thing to keep in mind there is that when that kernel forms a black layer at the base of the kernel, when that hard starch progresses all the way through the kernel, it basically forms an abscission layer, which cuts that kernel off from the cob and from the rest of the plant. So there's no longer any active transfer of moisture or grain filling or anything, any active physiological process between those kernels in the rest of the plant after that time period. So dry down rate of the grain is totally dependent upon the environmental conditions after that time period. It's essentially separated from the rest of the plant at that time. And remember, corn is an annual plant. It's going to die when it reaches physiological maturity. So when it's, the leaves start to brown up and turn gray shortly after it reaches physiological maturity, that's perfectly normal. Not only do we not have any ability really to keep those plants green at that point, but whether they stay green or the plant turns brown has very little effect on the grain dry down after that point. Same thing goes with a artificial dry down of the plant after that time period by using a harvest aid. Harvest aids will clearly say we cannot apply those prior to physiological maturity because that will definitely have a negative impact on yield. But harvest aids can be applied after physiological maturity, but all they're doing is drying down vegetation. The grain is totally separated from the vegetation by that abscission layer. So application of a harvest aid is going to have zero effect on the harvest moisture of a corn crop and its dry down rate.
Another thing we've been getting questions about is, why are ear tips not filled?
That's a good question. And a lot of folks, you know, it indicates that folks are out looking at their crop and are wanting to do better and respond to be responsive to what they're seeing in the field. So obviously that's something that we need to be looking at. The number of kernels on a corn ear are determined about 20 days after tassel, and kernels and ears and the corn plants will naturally generally have more kernels than what actually gets filled. The potential number of kernels is determined before tassel, but the actual number of kernels that are filled is determined by what kind of resources that plant has available during the 20-day period following tasseling. And that's because the plant has relatively poor ability to pull resources from the vegetation during that time frame because the reproductive organs are very small during that time period. So it makes it very dependent upon the photosynthetic capacity of the plant during that 20-day period after tasseling. So things like cloudy weather, obviously too wet or too dry, nutrient deficiencies, high nighttime temperatures are probably the primary concern because they increase respiration rates and that decreases the amount of resources available to fill kernels during that time period. And with the crops spread out this year with different planting dates and maturities, the later planted corn is going to be more vulnerable to those higher temperatures that we started having in July and probably have a little poor kernel fill because of that. The other thing, though, to keep in mind is that different hybrids have drastically different characteristics in terms of how they fill kernels on the ear. Some hybrids will have a high kernel row number. Some of them will fill lots of kernels, some of them won't. It just so happens one of the top yielding hybrids that we have in the state, and obviously one of the most popular ones as well, has a high number of kernel rows, but it doesn't particularly fill a lot of kernels from the tip to the base or the number of kernels per row on that cob. But it does fill an extremely high seed weight. So its tendency is to not particularly fill a lot of kernels, have a lot of tip back, but it fills very heavy kernels. And when we're estimating corn yield and assessing things with our eyes, we can't assess kernel weight and seed size until really after physiological maturity or when the combine enters the field. So that limits our ability to accurately estimate yields based upon what we're seeing strictly in terms of kernel number. So, you know, obviously we want to look at our crop and see if there's limitations out there, but that really doesn't tell us the whole story in terms of the yield potential of the crop. So don't fret about that just because your corn may have, 30 to 32 kernels per row, compared to another one that may have closer to 40. Another thing that plays into that is plant population as well. If we're planting corn at you know, 35,000 plants per acre, we're going to have smaller ears, and that number of kernels per row is likely going to be less than one that's more sparsely planted or dryland fields as well.
So a good way to summarize what we've talked about here today is that we're not quite out of the woods yet. We still need to continue to scout and manage our crop and just use a little bit of common sense to dictate decisions as we move forward. Remember to call either Dr. Larson or me whenever, if you see something that's wrong or have a question, just call us up and we'll talk to you all you want.
Absolutely. You know, it's getting on late in the year. Conditions are hot, but we do need to continue scouting and managing the crop to physiological maturity. And like Nolan said, using your tools, using your knowledge, and using some new technology like the soil moisture sensors will certainly help us make better management decisions at the end of the year. And if you have any questions, always feel free to call. And once again, thank you for joining us today. Be sure and follow the Mississippi Crop Situation blog. We also put up a lot of more information on these types of topics at that website. And good luck. We look forward to joining you again in the future. We'll talk more about harvest timing and things in the future programs, and we look forward to seeing you in the future once again.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.